Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Q3 and nine-month FY24 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We hope you all have gone through our financials, press release, and the presentation, which has been posted in the Investor Relations section of our website. We have with us Mr. Vasant Rathi, Chairperson and Non-Executive Director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for the ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement contained in the PPT. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectation or prediction about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. So without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking your very valuable time, and I welcome you all to the conference call for the third quarter and nine months ended 31st December 2023. I'd like to start by giving a brief summary of macroeconomic conditions that could affect the company. In the U.S., things have started to improve. Geopolitically, tensions are impeding the flow, which might affect commodities, interest rates, and consumer spending. As we all know, yesterday, the U.K., Japan, both of them, those countries are going into recession. The domestic economy is also doing well, so we see an adequate demand overall. The trade due to ongoing Red Sea issues could have an effect, mostly on freight, which could lead to longer supply chains. And we all know what happens with the longer supply chain during the COVID. During the quarter, we have recorded a growth, and last nine months, we have witnessed top-line growth of 16%, and our profitability has also improved on a sequential basis for nine months by 49%. Now, this quarterly performance. We have achieved top-line of rupees 1,609 million, the growth of 13% on year-on-year basis and 2% on sequential basis in quarter three. Our EBITDA stood at 538 million, grew by 29% on a year-on-year basis and 5% on sequential basis. We have witnessed a good growth of 52% in bottom line on year-on-year basis, while sequential basis, it grew by 21%. There is an improvement on the margin side as well. EBITDA margin stood at 33%, and PAT margin stood at 26% during the quarter three, as compared to 29% and 20% respectively for quarter three of the last year. Double-digit growth in the bottom line is because of our improved top line, change in product mix, and higher other income. The overall trend across our business has remained upbeat. Talking about some segment-wise performance, human nutrition, which is our main engine of the growth, is human nutrition segment, as usual, remains the highest contributor in the revenue pie of 69%. It grew by 19% on year-on-year basis and 5% on sequential basis. International market, primarily in the USA, supported the numbers in human nutrition. Animal nutrition. Our animal nutrition business contributed 10% to the revenue in quarter three. This segment is little lacking and degrew by 8% on year-on-year basis and 6% on sequential basis. Bioprocessing segment grew by around 5% on year-on-year basis, while we have witnessed a slight decline in 2% on sequential basis. This segment contributed 15% to the revenue. The food business grew by 21%, while non-food business reported a decline of 36% on year-on-year basis. The specialized manufacturing segment contributed 6% and grew by 20% on year-on-year basis and 1% on sequential basis. As you can see, overall, our confidence in the business remains very high, and we are moving ahead with a clear focus on our target segments. During the quarter, we have also acquired an additional stake of 5.89% in GC Biotech for the total cash consideration of rupees 56.07 million. Post completion of this acquisition, the shareholding of the Advanced Enzymes JCB will increase to 95.72%. With this, let me conclude my remarks and now hand over the call to Mr. Rauka. He will walk you through the financials and key subsidiary numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. Let me brief you about the financials of the company during the quarter gone by. On the company's consolidated financial for the third quarter and 9 months of the fiscal year 2024. On year-on-year basis, our top line has grew to 1,609 million as compared to 1,421 million of last year Q3, increase of 13%. EBITDA is increased from 417 million to 538 million. This is 33% of our revenue as compared to 29% last year. Profit before tax increased to 589 million from 404 million last year quarter 3, 37% of our revenue. Profit after tax increased to 425 million and the increase is from 279 million. So this works out to be 26% of our revenue. Quarter on quarter basis, sequential revenue increased by 31 million from 1,578 million to 1,609 million, an increase of 2%, and EBITDA increase is 5% from 513 million to 538 million. Profit before tax increased from 479 million to 589 million. This works out to be 37% of our revenue. Profit after tax has increased to 425 million, 26% of our revenue as compared to 22% in the last year Q3. 9 months performance, the revenue is increased by 16%, as Vixar has already mentioned, from 4,000 19 million to 4,660 million and the profit before tax is increased by 51%. Profit after tax is increased by 49% from 718 million to 1,071 million. This is 23% of our top line as compared to 18% in 9 months of previous year. So EBITDA increases about from 1,123 million to 1,491 million, which works out to be 32% of our top line as compared to 28% last year. Let me give you some number of our subsidiaries. Desi Biotech continues to be positive. During the quarter, top line of 176 million, EBITDA of 33 million, a PAT of 14 million. So for 9 months, we have seen a 22% of growth in top line of the CD, and EBITDA is increased from 16 million to 59 million. And last year, it had a loss of about 8 million. It is now in profit of 16 million. Evoxx continues to be EBITDA negative for the 9 months, and overall the top line is also degrew by 9%. The company is in loss of about 26 million for 9 months as compared to 10 million of profit during last year 9 months. SciTech has performed well. Overall this quarter, top line of 104 million, EBITDA of 17 million and PAT of 4 million. For 9 months, it has recorded a sale of 304 million as compared to 236. So top line growth of 29% and EBITDA of 38 million as compared to negative EBITDA of 30 million last year. PAT during 9 months is about 12 million as compared to 50 million loss last year 9 months. Our R&D spend is about 202 million as compared to 290 million last year. That works out to be 7% of our top line on standalone basis. On console basis, we continue to spend about 3 to 4% of our revenue on research and development activities. This year, this is slightly down because of the capex is lower. That will be capitalized over a period of time. The capital work in progress of our R&D lab is still going on. The largest selling product continues to be in the range of 22-23%. Top 10 customer sale is about 26-27%. B2C segment has contributed a growth of about 4.4%. So this year it is 3.79 million as compared to 3.63 last year. So this is all from my side. Now we open the floor for question answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Nawalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it was, thanks for the opportunity and good set of numbers. So my first question is on the nutrition segment in the international human nutrition pie. So after, I think, the multiple quarters of, similar kind of run rate that we are maintaining on quarterly basis, I think we have seen some good growth coming in, and you have mentioned in the opening remarks also that it's largely led by US. So could you please give some more color on this segment and how do you see coming quarters as far as this particular segment is concerned?
Thank you, Abhishek. You can see that our major segment is the human nutrition, and US market plays a very vital role in this area. We see that market is doing well right now, and we forecast that it will continue to do so.
Okay. My only question is, till last quarter we were mentioning that, there have been some competitive challenges also in the market, and suddenly, do you see this is like there's some one-off order which has led to this kind of growth, or you see this kind of run rate maintaining or even improving from the current level?
Yes, there are challenges remains. Challenges don't go away because the market is now changing and it is becoming, as you know, more of a global nature, right? And lot of regulatory challenges are there in this industry. However, we have already for last couple of years, we are working on it to address those issues systematically, and we have introduced some new products, we have introduced, brought some new customers, and it is a continuous ongoing process. So we feel that there will be little up and down here and there, but the growth will continue.
Sure, sir. And my second question is on the probiotics segment. So while, you know, the international probiotics, I think, could be in the flattish trajectory, but domestic, I think from last quarter onwards, I mean, from second quarter also, we have shown some improvement. And this time around also, I think that is also a big driver as far as domestic human nutrition is concerned. So again, I mean, this is related to some channel restocking happening, or how do you see this growth actually for going forward?
No, I think what happens is that certain brands are developing. We have so many studies related to probiotics applications. So people now are warming up very nicely with our probiotics segment. And that, even though the market is a little bit flattish for us, we see that it will continue to grow for us.
Sure, sir. And my last question is on the two dossiers for which we have got the approval last quarter. Any update on that? I mean, would you be in a position to tell us what could be the total addressable market and when should we start seeing, revenue from those products, if at all you're trying to sell in developed markets?
Sir, Abhishek, which one you're asking for?
I think in the last quarter, we have mentioned that we have got two food dossiers got approved from, I think, from Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, the approvals are there. There are always some queries comes out from the EFSA and other kind of agencies, and you have to spend a lot of time to answer them, and we are doing so. So then the final approval comes in. So it is a process, ongoing, continuous process. And because we patiently are working so hard on these things, I'm sure that within, you see that whatever we have filed will get approved finally. And then we are always going after new approvals.
So that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. One is, you mentioned on the US side, but specifically on the probiotic and nutrition, which we had seen a big drop post-COVID, are you seeing that market returning for us in US? And secondly, connected question was that in our previous calls, we had mentioned that if US grows, then we should be able to come back to that 40% kind of EBITDA margin, which was our historical range. So at what level you believe the US business has to come for us to improve on our margin profile?
Well, margin profiles, it's a very competitive market, Nikhil, right?
Yeah.
So there are always challenges to improve the margins after the certain tick mark, you know? So I don't wanted to tell you that it will never come 40 and 50% margins, as we used to see it before. But we are constantly working on improving our margins, and as you can see, the effects are already showing in, in this quarter. All three quarters it is improving gradually, and you will see the improvement continuation.
Okay, and the first question on the growth on the US, because if you look at last 3-4 quarters, our average run rate in US was around 45-50 crores, which has jumped to 60-62 this quarter. So is it like, so are we seeing a trend on the probiotic side, which was a big impact for us in last 2 years on the US market, or what has helped this?
There are too many different factors. It is always a product mix, as you know and I know it. Okay. That's the first thing. Second part is some new products developments happening, and that also gives us some advantages in the marketplace. And third is as it progresses and develops further and further, we see that improvement because as you go into higher revenue and more sales, your cost structure goes down relatively in percentage-wise.
Hmm. Okay, just two more questions. Sir, on Serratio Peptide, we've been increasing our share in JSIC Biotech every quarter. And if you look at the molecule size, it's moved. So when we acquired, it was around 110 crores. Today, on a run rate basis, it's something in the range of 150-160. How do you see the opportunity in this molecule? I know we've not filed in US and Europe, but are you planning to file there? And if we file, do you see there is a big opportunity size in this molecule? Because on one hand, we are also increasing our share continuously in this company. So what's the overall idea and thought process behind this?
Unique molecule, you know, and we have a big advantage on it. So we will place our advantages wherever and everywhere we can do so. It requires a lot of research work, and on our part, and we are doing. So our R&D is really helping us in so many different ways to utilize this molecule in a different way.
Okay, and last question. If you look at our position, see, in 2016-17, when we had come post the IPO, we had talked about going into industrial and on the palm oil side and the biofuel side and all. But what I understand is that there were existing large players like Novozyme and Hansen on the dairy and on the industrial side, where they had been present for like 50-60 years. If you look at today on the human nutrition segment, which we've also talked about as a core area, how is our positioning versus our competitors? Because when we read through their capital markets, they are also talking about that we have to become big, and they are also working to build molecule base here. So would we say we are on a even position versus competition in this segment? How do you see our competitive positioning here?
Nikhil, it's a good question, right? Obviously, when you see a very lucrative market or expanding markets, competition is going to come from the big and small. But it is an industrial market, is a very different market segment versus nutritional market. More and more people try to go with a healthy lifestyle. Nutritional market will keep on expanding, and there is room for everybody. But we have a good advantage vis-a-vis our presence in the market for a very long time, and we don't see that it will affect us tremendously.
Sure, I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, participants. I have a couple of questions. we haven't seen any growth in American sales since FY19, but in the couple of quarters we have registered higher growth. So will this trend continue, and can we expect going forward as America's share increase in our revenue, we can get back to around 40%-ish margin? And what has led to this growth? Is it the product mix has changed?
I told you that it is always a very difficult proposition to go over 40% margins. Competition is always there. Like Nikhil asked a few minutes ago, there are a lot of other small and major players coming into the marketplace. So we have to create our own niches in the marketplace, which we did, or which we do. We are continuously doing. We see that it's a continuous growth for us. And margin is always going to be competition. But we'll do nicely. Like as you see, this quarter we have improved our margins considerably.
And another question is, what are the challenges you are facing in animal nutrition as well as specialized manufacturing? Because your quarterly run rates have not scaled up lately.
Yeah, animal nutrition is a different animal altogether. It's very competitive, and you can see that it is logistics, deliveries, the walls doesn't help, cost keeps on increasing, and you have to really compete cost-wise and price-wise in various different markets. Okay?
Okay. And how are the margins between the segments, like margins of product profiles of human nutrition, animal nutrition, as well as bioprocessing and specialized manufacturing? If you can just give a rough idea how the margins are.
So, Rohan, let me respond to you. As far as, you know, the gross margin segment wise, we cannot track like that, you know, gross margins for human nutrition and animal nutrition, industrial bioprocess. I mean, that's not the way, like, you know, we just classify it for the sake of, you know, better understanding of our business. Based on, you know, our customers and the product. So for every product, you know, you will not have that kind of a margin as such.
Okay. Yeah, that was from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Padi from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, Aditya.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. I just have two questions. Just wanted to understand. The first question is on, like, you know, you've mentioned about improvement of margins when your US business would pick up, like, you know, in the previous quarter. So US has seen decent growth after some time. So how do you see the visibility, like, in the near term to midterm? Like, how do you see the margin growth in this business?
We'll continue on that one.
Okay. So similarly, like this quarter.
Well, every quarter is different. It is not quarter to quarter we care. We look at really, because sometimes you know how the inventories go. Somebody's order by the end of the month may not require it right away till one quarter. So what can you do? You see what I'm saying?
Got it, sir. And my next question is on the margins. If I see, like, versus the long-term margins, there have been major increases in, like, employee spend in the last 4-5 years. So where do you see, like, margin improvement coming from? Like, would it be gross margins or employee expenses going down or other expenses? Like, you know, whichever have gone post-COVID, have gone up post-COVID.
Employee expenses are going to continuously grow up because there is a lot of pressure on the salaries, as you know very well. Logistic cost is kind of came down after COVID, but now it is again under pressure. So inventory is carrying inventory will be with a higher cost. So there are a lot of challenges as I explained before also ahead of time. In spite of that, we are constantly trying to improve the margins. keeping our costs down as much as possible and the other various other areas, and also other income is increasing for us because of the higher cost, higher interest rates.
Okay.
So we have a lot of investments, as Vik sir has mentioned.
Yes.
So from that we are getting good returns. So other income is increased substantially if we compare, you know, our 9 months of this year number versus the 9 months of, sorry, last year. So that has also contributed in overall increase in our profitability. But yes, the margin has improved. You rightly said, I mean, as Vik sir has also mentioned, so US business, as it grows, we have a better margin, better profitability. And that's what, you know, you can see from this last quarter numbers.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. Those are my two questions.
Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Absolutely. Very clear.
Okay. So, sir, first question was, could you tell us the number for Evox for 9 months, loss number for 9 months?
Yes. So, Evox 9 months number is top line 116 million.
Yeah.
As compared to 182 of last year.
Okay.
And EBITDA is negative for this 9 months, 12 million, as compared to 39 million positive.
Okay. And
during this 9 months, we have a loss of about 26 million as compared to 10 million of profit in 9 months of last year.
Right, sir. So, sir, what we understand is that this company was acquired to as a research for better research and marketing function in Europe. So going forward, will it have its own profitability, or will it continue supporting the consolidated entity and report losses?
Umang, this is an R&D company, okay? And we have to look at that way, because it's not like regular commercial operation.
Right.
And European conditions, as you know, in Germany and various in European conditions, are a lot of pressure on the salaries and other cost increases versus slowdown in the businesses.
Right. Right, sir. And sir, the second question was, we have launched two new products in JC Biotech, pharma products, which have come after a long time. So how does the market that you see, would they be India focused or would they be outside India also? If you could give some clarity there. The products I'm referring to is Invertase and Alpha Galactosidase.
Yes, they are very interestingly, new products are added to the production side of it, and we see a very good opportunities in the industrial sector.
So any rough number on what the market size is like, and how much are we targeting of that market?
It's a huge size. Industrial area is, you know, it's a very big market. And these products takes a little bit time to just introduce and get approvals, but we see a good prospect.
Okay. Right, sir. And sir, for last two quarters, you've been giving out numbers for human nutrition revenues from India. If you can just give that number for this quarter, it would be very useful.
Let me see if Mr. Rauka can pick out.
Yes. Okay, so it's 519 million.
Okay. And what was this for last quarter, third quarter for last year?
393.
Okay, got it. Right,
so
sir.
India and the human nutrition. You asked for the India human nutrition, right?
Yes. So it's 519 million and 390 million for last year.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. And sir, last question was, for 9 months, could you speak out about Belfast performance and how are we looking at our B2C foray?
No, I think Belfast number is still negligible. As we mentioned to you, it's like, you know, we are still working on it. It will take
Okay.
you know, a lot of time to.
B2C is a very different animal, as you all know. It takes time to.
Correct. Are we changing anything on the product front or on the management front?
Working good. Right now, we are satisfied with the progress, with the what's happening with it, and there will be a constant addition of the product, and we are very mindful of how we want to take this forward, you know.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Nigam from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for taking my question. Sir, I joined a little late. I just wanted to understand, have you given the revenue for this quarter from our top product?
It's about 22%.
22% of consolidated revenue.
Yeah.
And so can you
excuse me, Gaurav?
Yeah.
Let me repeat the number. So I am giving you for 9 months, it is 22% of our top line, and last year it was 24%. Quarter is I think 20%.
Understood, sir. And sir, can you provide bifurcation of the human nutrition revenue between India, international and sub-segments, sir?
So I think I have just given that. So India human nutrition is about 519 million and international it is 588 million. So total is about 1107 million Q3 of this year.
Understood, sir. And would you be able to give the pharma, probiotics and biocatalyst numbers within the three segments we operate in?
Okay. So pharma is about 386, probiotic is about 100 and biocatalyst is about 33. This is India I am talking about. International human nutrition is 562, probiotics 20 and biocatalyst is about 5 million.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Sir, and just wanted to get your outlook on the end customers in the US Nutra segments, because I think till last quarter we were not very sure about the end market performance. So how is it now and how are the customers looking at the growth going forward? Any sense of the US Nutra market would be helpful, sir.
Yeah, it's a pretty, right now we can see a stable market and lot of new customer additions.
Understood. And sir, the inventory issues which were there in the last few quarters, is that over?
We have taken care most of it. It's a gradual process.
Understood, sir. Sir, just I think continuing on the previous participant on the animal nutrition segment, so we have seen almost a stagnation in the last three quarters. Just wondering whether this is because of the India business or international business and what are the reasons behind it?
It's very competitive business, Gaurav. And lot of pressures on the logistics, inventories and costs. Okay.
But is this majority in the India business, this competitive pressures are coming or is this
international business? India is also not an exception to the rule in this matter.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you for giving detailed answers, sir. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harini Dedia from Tamohara Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good evening, sir. My first question was on B2B sales. You know, a couple of years back, we had appointed a distributor on the India side, Anshul, and then Azelis on South Asia. How has that experience been with these distributors? What has the traction been like? And are we also appointing more on-the-ground salespeople to do direct sales? If you can just help us understand how is our sales team shaping up for B2B sales?
B2B sales shaping up pretty fairly decent, you know. We're satisfied with it. Always the acquisition of the new market is always a challenge and takes some time. But requirement is you have to be present and keep on knocking on the doors, explaining our better side of the products and services.
Okay. And do we have a preference on whether we go via distributor in a particular market for a particular product or the direct route, or do we try to do both? How do we approach it?
We try to do both.
Okay. Got it. And on the B2C front, for Welfa, like you yourself mentioned, right, it's a whole other beast, and I mean, there is no limit to how much money you can spend on it. Do we have a call on capital allocation, both capital and time allocation? How much money are we okay burning on this? How much time are we okay spending on this to get it to break even?
We are not burning a lot of money. Let's put it this way. And that is not a full focus on it. However, there are people who are given the full attention and they are continuously working. I think looking at various different challenges in B2C, we are doing fairly decent.
Okay, sir. Those are the questions I had. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ohri from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
I just have a couple of questions. The first one related to the probiotics. Knowing there's an immense potential over there, untapped, which is to the tune of USD 48 to 50 billion. Sir, what would AETL be interested in? Whether you'd be interested in the animal feed segment, dietary supplements, or the functional S&D?
Rohit, right?
Yes, sir.
Obviously, we're interested in all these three markets, no? That's why we're there.
And in the initial phase, what sort of market do you intend to capture? Maybe next 2 years or maybe 3 years' time?
Sir, continuous growth in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are always some areas will perform better than others as the condition changes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we see good opportunities in all these areas where we are.
Okay. In terms of biocatalysis, if there are any new products in pipeline which you think are nearing their launch dates, if you'd like to share that.
We will see next year it will start paying off.
Okay, so how many, if you would like to just put a number to that?
I don't know, but I think two to three products to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a lot of emphasis being put on bioenergy, clean, green energy by the Honorable Prime Minister and his entire team. So what sort of efforts have we taken forward for the domain of biomass processing, sacrification, and the bioethanol production?
Honorable Prime Minister and country is looking into biogreen area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very challenging area. I hear Honorable Gadkari always speaking about various different fuel produced and all that. The issue is always what are the processes you develop and what government is willing to do. We are capable of working on it, but government requires a lot of support, and here we don't hear much of it. to be honest.
Okay. Okay. So I really think that you'll be able to add the fifth division to the basket of the entire portfolio, maybe grain and tech processing. By when do you think you can add the fifth element or the fifth segment to the system?
As you said, there is a lot of push.
Mm-hmm.
And if that push comes through with the proper government support, we are capable of doing it.
Okay. And are there any molecules you're already working on? If you'd like to share some details on that.
No, I cannot share because that is not ours at this point in time.
Okay. Okay. So my last question is related to the overall pie. If we see the pie of the revenue, it is gradually moving more towards the animal healthcare and the bioprocessing. So do you think that from the current 10 to 13% or maybe 13 to 15% of animal HC and bioprocessing, the pie for these two segments will improve or increase going forward?
It will improve. It will improve.
And any ambitious target that you have to kind of have?
You pointed the right finger at it, you know. As our pie increases, that means they have to keeping that percentage improves the sale numbers also, no?
Mm-hmm. And sir, any thoughts on entering pyrethroid or insecticide business or any anti-parasitic or insect repellents?
No, we are not looking at that right now.
Not looking at that.
There is an applications, enzyme applications there is, but we we are not working on a research on that.
And the R&D team intends to work on those going forward, maybe 2 years down the line?
Maybe.
Okay. And sir, if anything on the improvement or mitigation of the issues that we have with ROC, which was raised in the last quarter as well, which was related to the goodwill that is lying in the balance sheet. If any concrete steps have been taken on that?
The litigations, right?
No. Are you talking about return on capital, right?
Yes, sir.
Correct. So, I mean, you know, return on capital, I think we have already mentioned that, you know, we are taking care to the extent, you know, it is good for all the stakeholders.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's what you might have observed that last time we have declared a very handsome dividend as well. So, you know, you improve that way your return on capital employed because you distribute some money to the shareholders. But other than that, whatever money is with us, we have been using that money for our investments where we are getting a good return. And in addition to that, you know, there is again, you see the benefit of the money being invested in USD. So you get at least 4.5% every year and because of the rupee depreciation. And in addition to that, there will be, of course, some return from the investment which have been made in the government bonds and, you know, other investments. So capital employed per se in percentage may be, you know, lower due to a lot of, you know, money we have with us.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, overall, if you see the company is growing, so we keep that money because, you know, Bixar is also with us and we have discussed in past also. We are scouting for some opportunities as well. So we are keeping that cash. So as and when there are opportunities, good opportunities where there is a lot of synergy in the business, probably that money will be used for that purpose. And otherwise, you know, the management will take care of that, you know, how to deploy that funds.
Okay, sir. Thank you for answering my question. Thanks a lot.
Sure, Ravi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. She just wanted to, you know, touch base upon all the work that Evox has been doing. Evox is essentially an industrial enzyme research company. So if you could share, you know, some of the areas that they have been working, they were also kind of, they had done a strategic partnership with Symrise cosmetic company, about a year and a half, 2 years back. So anything on that, or anything on generally, on industrial side, because there seems to be a lot of opportunities on the industrial side from our perspective. So if you could just share some insights or some, path or the work that we've been kind of looking at on the industrial enzyme side.
Ravi, as you rightly pointed out, it is an R&D company.
Yeah.
It is working with various different companies, as you some names you probably gave. And they are all confidential documents with them. So we cannot reveal all the names as they are working on their R&D projects. I can only tell you that various different products are not only R&D, they work on the research projects and also various different molecules in industrial as well as in other segment, human and animal nutrition. So you don't see those in the balance sheets directly, but they are very big contributors. Market is a changing market. It is very information and research driven market now.
Correct.
Evoxx has a lot of role to play in that.
Yeah. And so in 2022, I think we had announced a strategic partnership with Symrise, right? Symrise is a very large company, highly profitable company, very, very strong in cosmetics, right? So we're just wondering if something happened, it's been about a year and a half. Does it throw open opportunities for us on business side, or it's more like a core development of products or, core research? So what kind of, if you could just share some insights into that.
Unfortunately, I cannot because I have confidential agreements with them.
Okay. And sir, if you could just share if there are any, on the industrial side again, because we've read a lot of articles and a lot of material which says that, for hydrogen production and all, enzymes are like the pre-catalyst agents, right? So there is a lot of, activity going on that side. So is this something that we have the capabilities to participate? Is there something that throws open opportunities for us on the industrial side? If you could share anything on that side.
Hydrogen peroxide.
So it's talking about biocatalysis.
Oh, okay. I honestly don't know what to tell you about it, but we are working on those enzymes very diligently at this point in time, and considerable progress is made, but it takes little time
mm-hmm.
to get through all these regulatory development and regulatory and becomes a competitive marketplace. Okay,
sir, I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much. Yeah, sir.
We cannot never compete with hydrogen peroxide, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So cheap. Enzymes are not that cheap.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. One question. I just wanted to get an idea of what is driving the domestic sales as well as best of the world sales. What segment is playing a role in this growth?
Human nutrition.
And food.
On what business?
Human nutrition and food.
Okay. And in food side, is baking playing any key role?
I missed it. Who's?
Yeah, so baking is part of, our food segment.
Okay. Get it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to hear you, Mr. Rathi and Mr. Roka. A couple of questions. First is, when you set out this year, at the start of the year, you had appetite that you would do a few things. And just wanted to understand, as we draw the year to the close, which are the areas which has actually exceeded your expectations? It could be people, product, sales, or margins, or whatever. And which are the areas which disappointed you?
Yeah, very, very nice and general question, Lakshmi Narayanji. By the way, that is my father's name too. we are very exceeded with our people. The research group is doing phenomenally well for us. Okay. It's also that lot of papers and lot of publications are happening, which are giving us lot of advantage in the marketplace, and we are finding market is responding also very nicely because of our long association, long presence in the market, our reputation, etc. So that is all positive. Negative is somewhat disappointing with this macroeconomics of what's going on, and that is putting the pressure, unnecessarily pressure on us, and also more of a, we can see a challenge, I will not say pressure, a lot of challenges of further expansion and growth.
Got it. Can you just dwell a bit deeper on the second thing, you know, when you say macro, what is it leading to as a company for us?
The macroeconomics, like, you know, the wars doesn't help anybody in the economies, as you know. So delivery challenges are pretty disappointing. Cost always keeps on going on that. And challenges are also acquiring good talent when you are expanding the company and pressing wages and other things on it. So.
And any segment or geography which had or a product that has actually did very well beyond your expectations in the last this financial year?
I cannot give you any specific numbers or specific product names, but overall we are doing very well in the entire segment.
And if you just roll back and look at the last 3 years, I mean, the reason I'm asking is that you always mentioned that don't look at my company on a quarterly basis, look at it in a slightly longer. So if you look at it for the last 3 years, which are the areas which has actually surprised you positively, and which are the ones which have disappointed you, and what are you doing to address those areas which have disappointed you?
Our R&D, there is only one solution in our marketplace. Expanding the R&D and making sure that our products are really addressing the issues. So it's a lot of change happens in last 3-4 years.
And how do you, you know, quantify that if the R&D has actually improved? Is it by the number of scientists who work with you, or the kind of output on a near term or a long term? How do you parameterize it?
Yeah, output,
when you say you're happy.
Output is always very important, and the talent is always part of the entire game. So we have excellent talents, and we are very proud of our people. Wonderful, wonderful group of people. They are willing to take any challenges. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Manoj N. Muthian, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I just want to know how many new molecules are being developed in the R&D, and what is the timeline of the commercialization? I'm asking this because business growth is expected to come only from the existing molecules and then from the new molecule. There is always limitation to the existing molecule, and the new molecule will only play a major role in the business development and business growth.
Very true, Manoj, and it's a very good question. Thank you. We have developed several new molecules, but you know, these molecules, when you develop, goes through very thorough testings. Like it has to go through with the toxicology, with the various different approvals, and it takes really long time. Okay, and there are a lot of challenges on those. So, as I said, our R&D is doing very phenomenal job along with our documents department and other supporting areas. We have filed some patents also. So there is a excellent movement of things, and it, we will only say that these molecule developments are useful when we complete those all these requirements. Does that make sense?
I definitely know about that. I just wanted to know how many number of products being developed and what is the calendar for their commercialization?
As I said, commercialization takes some time. Products are quite a few developed, quite a few. I cannot give you exact numbers, but quite a few.
Okay, then second question is, since our R&D development cost in European countries is too high, then do you have any plan to shift development to Indian sites?
That is also a very good question. You know, we just invested, $50 crore?
In our
new R&D facility, which is happening on 15 acres of land, and there is a huge park development is going on. We will be one of the topmost R&D company in this area. So we have a huge, very big plans for the research and development.
And my third question is, there are 7 molecules filed with the US FDA according to the annual report, and for 5 there is no questions from the FDA, and for remaining 2 there were some questions. Whether those questions have been addressed and molecules have been commercialized in US market? Hello?
Yeah, just a moment.
Yeah, Manoj, FDA doesn't question them. They ask a lot of questions, okay? And we filed many of those already. And approvals, some of them approved, some of them are in the process.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just 2 questions. So this question point which the earlier participant raised, just wanted to understand, see, in traditional pharma, what we see is that companies have a tie-up with a customer, and then they file the DMF or whatever, and once the approval is received, their commercialization starts. But if I go through our calls, even in Europe and US, where we said that there are products where there are no questions, and in a way there are approvals which are being achieved, how does the sales process happen? So is it like first we file, then we scout for partners? How does the overall process happen? I know it will take some time, but if you can just educate us how this process works versus traditional pharma.
Traditional pharma is very different. With the filing, first of all, traditional pharma takes a lot of money and long time, but they also get patents and they can make a lot of claims. We cannot make claims, any specific claims of anything cure or anything which can, what you call it, cure, and what other word is there?
Diagnose, treat, cure.
Treat, cure, any diseases or anything. So it has to be related to health and nutrition, and that's all we can claim. So it has a lot of difficulties. doctors may recommend or may not recommend, because in US, the doctors, most of the doctors will go for the Medicare, Medi-Cal. They need to have a FDA approval for drugs. So different ways to deal with it. And we are only strictly into human nutrition of well-being and not in the disease or cure business.
So once we get an approval for a molecule, Hello? You were saying something, sir?
Sorry, your second part was whether we look for the partners before or after. Once we get approval, then we have to find appropriate partners who have the different needs. And the molecule will fit for their application.
Okay. And last question, sir. This is from our slide 28. Where we talk about the addressable market for AETL over next 5 years and AETL's current share of revenue. If you have to understand, say, just taking an example of, say, baking, where we say $30 million is the addressable market. If you have to understand 5 years back, based on our capabilities and molecules, how would these sizes have changed? The addressable markets would have changed. So, because as you, and this is in relation to the R&D question, I know you can't say how many molecules will launch and all, but if you can just spend some time 5 years back, what was this addressable market for some of these segments, which today we are talking of, say, 200 or 30 million. And as an investor externally, how should we measure how we are increasing our addressable market opportunity?
The market is changed. Now, let's say for baking, the need in the food industry is changing to not just food, but healthy food, you know, less sugary food or whatever, you know, that those are the kind of market needs have changed. Before we used to have all the Coca-Colas in the market. Now the drinks are more healthier drinks. So you can see that human nutrition is a very dynamic subject and they are constantly changing. As the research comes out of it, people want to have a different address, different things at a time. So as you know, like January 1st, everybody wants to have a resolution to lose the weight. And after 3 months, they lose that interest and go back to again same old, same old. So human nutrition is something of that nature. It is changing. And obviously, some market is increasing as expenditure income changes. People start thinking about the healthy food or spending some money on the right food. So it has changed in 5 years. It is expanded, in my opinion.
Okay. Sure, sure, thanks. Thanks for answering.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeshit Ladani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes.
Mr. Ladani?
Yeah. So, yes, sir.
Okay.
I have been an investor since quite long time in Advanced Enzyme Technology, because I believe in the philosophy of the company about meeting everyone healthy.
Sorry to interrupt, but you do sound a little muffled. I request you to please use the handset mode.
Yes. How about now?
Please go ahead, sir.
So, I'm an individual investor in the Advanced Enzyme Technology since quite some long time, because I believe in the basic philosophy of the company, making everyone healthier. Couple of questions which I'm noticing since long time, that earlier we used to have
operating margins in 40s range, 40s percentage. Now it is in 30s percentage. It's slightly increasing since a couple of quarters. So is it going to be in the same range for a longer period of time, or are you going back to the 40s range?
Mr. Larwani ji, I just want to thank you for investing in the company for a long time. We really greatly appreciate that. I also answered that question some time ago, is that it's a very competitive market business, marketplace, and keeping very high margins are not always, that kind of high margins are not always feasible, because you have to compete. Okay. But we are trying to improve our margins all the time. It is always a combination of product mix, which really reflects how it will, how margins will shape up at the bottom. But so, it will be healthy. 30, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, so this 30s range is the that's the new normal.
It's still not very clear from your line, sir.
So this 30s range is the new normal, right?
30 to 33, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the top line growth which you are seeing around 20-ish now, is it going to be a sustainable growth? Like, are we going to see that number quarter over quarter or year over year?
Yeah, we don't say every quarter, but as you can see, these last three quarters this year, they're constantly increasing. Not necessarily that will continue the trend necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
However, we see 15 to 20% growth as we guided before also for some time.
Okay. And the geographical bifurcation, like 80% of business comes from India and America. So is this going to be the same, or like are we seeing any new growth opportunities elsewhere?
A lot of other opportunities are there. So it will change.
Okay. And any new patents which we have filed? I think around 13 patents we have. So any new patents filed in this year out of those 13?
Yes, we did.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have no further questions. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings call. We will keep you all posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
On behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.